talk about the Chet of the Meraglim. And as Chazal see that Chayza was Bacha Bechiyah Shachidam, Blayla Hu, it's referring to the night of Tisha B'Av, as the Russian says, if you were Bacha Bechiyah Shachidam, I'm going to give you what to cry about. So this is the root of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which we are still... Chazal say that every door which the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt in their days, the Tchila was Nechrev in their days, which means we still have some element of this problem is still within us, so it makes sense that we should try and figure out what exactly went wrong over here. Now, obviously, to say what exactly went wrong over here is going to be a challenge, because if you look at the various different swarm, everybody has their opinion what the problem is, and they're probably all right. It's like... We have the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh brings 10 pshatim from the earlier, you know, Rishonim, what the Chet is. So, Shir Das points out that if you have 10 explanations in the Rishonim, it's clear that it wasn't the blatant Aveira. The blatant Aveira, it would be very clear what it is. If I have 10 people trying to figure out what the pshat is, each one saying there's Shtikal Torah, it's a riot. It wasn't such an obvious problem. So standing over here, we can see the Berachot of Meforshim. It seems to be pretty straightforward, but it seems to be really grappling with what the root of the problem is, so that's fine. Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu sends these Meraglim, and in Parshas Shlach, when the Torah goes through the description of what happens, so we have no prior conversation to the story. Moshe tells Moshe to send Anashim. In Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu starts his Musar Shmuz to Klal Yisrael, which extends for quite some time. And there, right after Shlishi, by Tikkun Alai Kuchem, so the Moshe Rabbeinu describes how we're ready to go. I said, we're ready to go. There's nothing which is stopping you. We're ready to go. So Moshe Rabbeinu says that Klai Yisrael came and requested this. We don't get that in Parsha Shlach. We just get the Russian is saying Shlach Lecha Anashim. So Rashi says that the Klai Yisrael comes to request. And Rashi says the pasuk says V'tikruvun alai kulchem. Later on, by Matan Torah, when Klai Yisrael says that they can't deal with the awesome revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there it says, "V'tikruvun alai kol rashi shivtechem ziknechem." There it says the leaders came. Here it says kulchem. So Rashi says over here is Barvuvia. Yiladim doichbim says kainim. Skainim doichbim is a Russian. Everybody was pushing forward. Okay. And they go, they bring, then they come back, they brought it back to us, and the land is good, and you didn't want to go in, etc. Moshe Rabbeinu v'amar aleichem, lo satzum leisun mehem. Hashem lekechem ha'elich lefnechem hu yolachem lechem. The Russian will take care of it. But the verse ain't chem aminim by Hashem lekechem. You're not believing in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we have that. We add in here this conversation over here that Parshas Shlach does not tell us about at all. We have the Moshe Rabbeinu response to Klal Yisrael, which we do not have here in Parsha Shlach. They come back. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Klal Yisrael. We have this back and forth between the Meraglim, Yeshua ben Nun and Kol ben Yefuneh, Vayomru called us. So they say to Klal Yisrael, the Rosh wants us, we'll be able to go in. Do not be merged in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then Bershom says, this is it. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu responding to Klal Yisrael. Here we have Moshe Rabbeinu telling, Moshe says, I told you, don't do this. Here we have Moshe Rabbeinu saying that the problem, so that's second difference. Here we have Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael, but the verse that Ein chem maminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. He says, you're not maminim. Yeshua Kolib says, you're being married in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says the problem is the lack of emunah. Right? They say it's a rebellion. A third difference. A fourth difference, that in Parsha Shlach, we have Yeshua and Kolib, we have the story of Yeshua and Kolib responding to Klal Yisrael. That's not mentioned in Parsha's Devarim. That Yeshua and Kolib responded. So we have multiple differences between the two stories. Now, I do want to point out that in Parsha Shlach, the Rosh Hashanah says to Moshe, Adonai yinatsuni homazeh, v'adonai lo yaminu bi. So when are they going to insult me? They're going to be angry against me, and so when they're not going to believe in me. So that Moshe Rabbeinu says that the problem was a lack of emunah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is validating that. But Yeshua says that the problem is an act of merida, not an act of a lack of emunah. Okay. Okay. Now, after the whole story, Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu over here does not make a long arichas about his tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and the version says, "Okay, Machar Pinu Sulachem Hamid Bor Darach Yam Suf." So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael what the Rosh said. Veshkima Baruch Hu Yalu Al Rosh Hashanah Leimor. He says, okay, we're ready to go. Moshe says, Loma Zatem Zoy Avram Af Pi Hashem Vehilo Sitzlach. Don't go. And Klal Yisrael went. Vehpilo Lalo Yisrael Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, and they were attacked. In Parshas Shlach, Moshe Rabbeinu does not describe this. It says, "Why should you do this? It's not going to work. I'll tell you, do not go." The language in Parshas Bamidbar is stronger. Parshas Devarim is stronger. So you rebelled against the Pri Hashem, and the Tazidu Batalu Ohara, and you went with an act of mazed up to the mountain. The lashon over here is Reapilu, which Rashi says Reapilu is the lashon of Chozik. That was a strong act of the lashon Chozik. So it's a lashon of and it brings them to Tanchuma. They went in the darkness. The lashon of Eifel. Interesting that the Targum translates by Arsho, which is a lashon of Rishus, which would parallel the lashon which are used in Parshas in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim. But here is where Moshe Rabbeinu describes it as an act of merida. The decision after they're told not to go, the decision to go, that's an act of merida. Whereas the act of before, Moshe Rabbeinu describes that as an act of lack of emunah. Okay. I'm not sure I got every single difference, but there are a lot of differences over here. Okay. There are different approaches in understanding what exactly the chet of the Meraglim is. But to point out a few things over here. The Torah makes a list of the names. So it's Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, Ephraim, Binyamin, Zvulun, Manasseh. The order is not following the Golem, is not following the how they were born. It's not clear what the order is. So the Rambam brings one shot is that they were listed according to their Cheshivas. So listed according to their Cheshivas means that Shemuel ben Zakur and Shaphat ben Chori and Kalei ben Yefuneh and Yigal ben Yosef all were listed before Yehoshua. So here's four people which are listed before Yeshua in level of Cheshivas. So level of Cheshivas of these individuals, they're much greater than Yeshua. Okay. Kolam Anashim, Rashi says, Lashon Cheshivas. Moshe Rabbeinu chose individuals which were ksherim. That's how Rashi says over here. Vayechol vayavayu pasuch avav lahakish halichosin l'biyosin ma biyosin beitzerah af halichosin beitzerah. As soon as they went beitzerah. So they're described as ksherim. They're described as according to, the four of them are an amadrega greater than Yeshua. But the pasuk says, "Vayechol vayavoyel." They went already. As soon as they went, they're ready by Eitzarot. Sosemis has a ha'ora, which it's one of these difficult ha'oras because he gets into the world of Yedim Bechira. Yedim Bechira is a very challenging thing because we know we have Bechira, but on the other hand, the Russians, the world runs the way the Russians want the world to run. So in some places, we sort of get it. So Lo'alena Reuben decides he wants to kill Shimon and he shoots at Shimon. So if the Russian wants Shimon to die, Shimon will die. If Russian doesn't want Shimon to die, Shimon will die. So Reuven is a Bercha Bera. He chose to do the wrong thing, and that's his decision. But what's going to happen is a Bercha's decision. Okay. But now, if Shimon dies, you say the Bercha wants Shimon to die. Reuven will get punished for his decision, but Shimon was supposed to die. Okay. So now it gets more complicated. Was Adarishan supposed to die or not? He could have chosen not to eat Mnei Tadas, he would live forever. But he didn't, and people die. Means that the Russian wanted that people should die. So what was the option? Unreached should not eat Mnei Tadas, so people would live forever. So he had to eat Mnei Tadas, but he had Bechira. So that's the world of Yedia Bechira. We don't have an answer to Yedia Bechira. So, but we understand that when it happened, that was what was supposed to happen. So when Klaiso spends another 40 years in the Midbar and they die out in the Midbar, the next generation goes into Eretz Yisrael, means that was supposed to happen. So what's the Bechira over here? But they had no choice. If Sotema says if then they didn't go in, means that they weren't supposed to go in. And at the end of the day, they spent 40 years in the Midbar until the next generation went in, means that's the generation which had to go in and not them. So that's the world of Yedia. So what exactly was the moment of the element of Bechira? Okay, so we're not going to answer all the problems of Yedia Bechira. He suggests the following: that the approach that the Meraglim had to get Eretz Yisrael was not the correct approach to Eretz Yisrael, and based on that approach, they could not get Eretz Yisrael. And that's why they didn't get Eretz Yisrael. They had a moment of Bechira which they could choose to approach to get Eretz Yisrael differently. And had they chosen that, they would have gotten Eretz Yisrael. But that was the Mokim of Bechira, which they chose not to, and therefore everything stayed as it was. And everything staying as it was, they couldn't get Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Klai Yisrael comes to the Dor HaMidbar, the Dor Deah. Right. They refer to the Dor Deah. So they have a clarity of das, of understanding, which no other generation ever had. They said Nasa Benishma. And this is the generation which doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael. The generation which we see them doing multiple chatoyim, and they don't go to Eretz Yisrael. So they can reach the Nasa ben Hishma on the one hand. On the other hand, they are chayitim of the Chet Egel. By Meraglim, we already have them. Yusim Harashem, Ketinuk Abrech Mavesa Sefer. We have them in the series of problems. They're not getting it. There's something wrong over here. There's a fascinating medrash by the Chet Egel, which I mentioned to you before, that the medrash brings four mandamrim exactly at what point the Klai Yisrael actually contemplate the Egel. So they say Nasav and Ishma, they hear the Sefer Shedibris, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the Har. 40 days later, one day off, right? When they're count 40 days later, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't show up, and they're chayitu with the Chet Egel the next day. So Pashas, they were be'emunah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu for 39 days, and the last day they blew it. Right, and that's what the first number in the matter says. For 39 days, they were be'emunah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and day 40, they said, you know what, this doesn't look good. We got to come up with a new solution. They got all. In a situation, tumultuous situation, the person doesn't think straight, and next thing you know, they came up with this idea of chete. Second one number says, no. 29 days they're a bemuna, and for 11 days they're already contemplating ego. Last 11 days of the 40 days, they already were contemplating the chete ego. Eventually, the 40th day, they did the chete ego. Next one number says, no. 1 day they're a bemuna, and 39 days they were contemplating chete ego. Last one number says no. Tachas achupa. Remeir says tachas achupa. Under Mahar Sinai, when they were Nasav and Ishma, Nach Hashem Elokecha, they're already thinking about the Chet Egel. That's what Remeir says. So Biruchim says, how do you eat that? That does, you know, the Klai Yisrael said Nasav and Ishma, and the Malachim say that the Migal Razel. Who could Migal is such a concept? The Klai Yisrael, their mamash like Malachim. I said they're Lishmar Bekol Devorah. They're ready to do no matter what, etc. Everything is great. At the same time, they tell me they're contemplating Chet Egel. So he says the following, and I'm going to say it maybe in more. Modern terms. So a person is not frum, and he grows up with this life, etc. One day he says, there's more to life. He starts searching, he starts thinking, he starts looking, and he meets this, he talks about that, he debates. He comes to the recognition that Torah is the Emes. Quite a madrega, tremendous madrega. The person is able to come to that clarity through searching, thinking, talking. And he comes to this conviction, and he's ready to be makabel the Torah, as it were. He's undertaking to do the Torah. That's his moment of Nasav and Ishma. Right? He's ready to undertake the Torah. But there's a challenge. Why is he doing this? Because he sat in judgments, and he thought, and he contemplated, and he decided the Torah is true. So it means there's a moment, there's a point of his intellect which stands outside of the conversation, which is looking in and judging right and wrong. So the final arbiter of right and wrong is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's him. He decided God is right. Therefore he's going to do the Torah. He could have decided God was wrong. He wouldn't do the Torah. He happened to decide God was right. It made sense. But he decided. There's an eye over here. There's a big eye deciding. So he's put his mind on a pedestal. Made his mind the one who has the full understanding of truth and emes, and he decided this is emes. So it's a very challenge, because at the end of the day he's bowing down to himself, not to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When is he going to bow down to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Well, one day he comes to something which makes zero sense. It doesn't make any sense. That's based on his understanding of emes, it doesn't make any sense. It's okay, but you know what? God's smarter than me. He knows better than me. He runs the world. He said do, you do. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why am I the smartest guy in the world to figure out what makes sense? Mehechatesi. Rav Huttner says, somebody one time asked him, certain gullah, this gullah can't make a mistake. Maybe he's wrong and I'm right. He said, you're right. It's a possibility. Nobody's perfect. But Imagine you're sitting in the physics class and your teacher is Einstein. And he puts a formula on the board and you say, you know, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense, that formula. He's wrong. Now, is Einstein infallible? No, he's not infallible. But if you think you're the person who chapped Einstein's mistake, you're an idiot. But you're smart enough to chap what the mistake is. Maybe the problem is you, not him. So God doesn't make it doesn't make sense that this is the right thing to do. I can't believe that the Russian wants me to do that. Why? Because I'm so smart and I'm so knowledgeable and I have such a clarity of the realities of everything of the world that it must be that I'm right and God is wrong. Really? When the person says, no, that's ridiculous. God is right and I'm wrong. I don't get it. But I do it anyway because Bershom said. That's the moment you're now bowing to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to your mind. So Kleisel was a very big challenge. Kleisel sat and contemplated and came to the recognition that the Torah is the right thing to do. So Klai Yisrael is sitting on the pedestal, not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now, 48 days later, when they decided that's not the right thing to do, so it's not the right thing to do, because we get to decide. We're the boss. So the root of Chet HaEgel is we decide. We have a clarity, which, with our vision of clarity and understanding, this is now the right thing to do. The right thing to do is we need to have a leader. We need to have to touch into, let's say you understand it means that they wanted to use the kerchus of the Bria that represents in Shemayim by the meat of the shore. Whatever the explanation is, Kabbalistically wonderful. They saw with their clarity of understanding how all of the heavenly realms work, this is the right thing to do. But God said no. But I get to decide. Why God? I get to decide because I'm the smartest being in the world. I chapped that God is right. And I said, Nasir Nishma. Now I chapped God is wrong, and I'm going to do this instead. So the problem wasn't of a Azor. The problem was bowing down to their mind. So Kleistel comes. Bershman says, you know, this land is good for you. This is the good land for you. Go. He says, "Well, let's see what's there. I would like to decide myself." So they go to Moshe. Now, was that a right decision? They wanted to decide themselves. Or not? You have a guide. You're going on a travel. And you have a tour guide. He says, "Let's go left over here because it's much safer." He says, "No, I think let's go right." Do you really know the road? You have a guide. You have somebody directing you, and he's saying go left, because that's the right way to go. But you say, no, I think it's better to go right. Have you been here before? No, but I think it's a good idea to go right. You have a tour guide. You follow the guide. You have Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the manik. He says, the Bershman said, it's good. So you can ask, you know, can you explain to me why? I'd like to understand. I mean, I have a right to, part of Torah is Shulchan Aruch that she presented like a Shulchan. It should be understandable what she says. You have to explain to Tame, right, not just enough give them dinim, you have to explain to them why. That's part of Limud HaTorah for Klai Yisrael. That's fine. So by Matan Torah, Klai Yisrael comes, the Sekenim go to the Roshim, and they say to the Roshim, what do you think? The Roshim says, I don't know, it's a good question. We have to go ask Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a question. The Zokin says, I don't know. I think I contemplate, but I realize I don't know so much. Let's go to the next level up and ask what he thinks. He says, I don't know. Let's go ask Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, there's an orderly process. But over here, we have this process of Yeladim Deichem as a Sekenim, Sekenim Deichem as a Roshim. So what does it mean that the yellow doesn't mean a little kid? It means a young adult. So my 20-year-old comes along and says, you know, I'm running first. Well, maybe there's somebody else you should ask. No, I get it. The fact that the Yolanda Medechim says Canaan, etc., indicates that every person was trusting his own intuition and own intellect. So Moshe Rabbeinu says the root of this is a lack of emunah. You're not trusting in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rishon says it's good. You're right. You don't know whether it's good or not. But why is that relevant? What is that you're grappling with? Why is that relevant? Whether that you want to know that it's good. The Rishon said go. So you ask when, and that's it. All right? he says jump, you ask how high. You don't say, well, you know, is jumping a good idea? Let's see if jumping is good. Let's check up on Google whether jumping is healthy or not. And I'll decide. You know, you go to the doctor. The doctor says, I want you to do this exercise. You know, so once upon a time, you listen to the doctor. Nowadays, you look on Google and say, maybe the doctor's wrong. Maybe he's wrong. That's true. It's a possibility. But probably he knows more about medicine than you do. Right? And the reason why he prescribed this exercise, not that exercise, is for a reason, not just, well, you know, on the whim. It says, you know, I saw on the computer that this exercise is better. I mean, like, he had a reason why he did it. I mean, he's not infallible, but, like, at least discuss it with him. Don't listen, doctor, you got to change, because I read it online and you got to listen to me. Again, there are sometimes you got to do that, but, like, most times that's not the issue. You can discuss it with him, you can ask, you understand. But you don't. You're not saying that. You're taking a position of authority when you don't have authority. And that's what Yolanda's Sekena means. The Moshavim says a lack of emuna. Yeshua says, "Ach Hashem not timroidu." This is merida. This is rebellion. Because the problem over here is not that you don't trust. The problem is because you want to be in the driver's seat. It's much more comfortable in life when you're the boss. I get to decide what's right and what's wrong. I trust my mind, I trust my thought process, and I get to decide. That's much more comfortable than saying, suspending my mind. So it's not a lack of emunah, it's an act of merida. Moshe Rabbeinu does not call it that until the next day. Moshe says, don't go. Okay, so now what? You ask that we shouldn't go. The Moshe says, don't go. They say, okay, let's go. Moshe Rabbeinu says that is an act of a tamra. It's an act of merida. It's an act of being murder against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're given a clear directive now that it's done. So the story is over. But you're back to being in the driver's seat. Now the Rosh says, no, now you do tshuva. Now you say go. And the Rosh says, I don't want you to go. And you're not going. You shouldn't go. It's not going to work, etc. You say, no, let's try it. Maybe let's try it. That's not tshuva. That's, if anything, that Moshe Rabbeinu says that's worse. That you still don't get it. I pointed out to you what the problem is, and instead of saying, oh right, I should have trusted the Baruch Hu, you say, you know what, the Russian got it wrong again and I'm still the boss. That's the moment Moshe Rabbeinu calls it a merida. Why Yeshua saw that beforehand and Moshe Rabbeinu did not see it until afterwards, I'm not sure. So the Sfas Emes says Eretz Yisrael is a place where you're going to, like Pesukim said later on, it's a land which there's no rivers. You're relying on the rain. Rain is very iffy, and the Russian is the one who's in control. It's going to be a land which is totally in Amunna. Eretz Yisrael, you have the Nile. The Nile's always there. You need water, you go to the Nile. You can't go to the Yam and take out the water because it's full of salt. There's no water. So what are you going to do? You're going to rely on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Totally relying on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Are you ready to do that? They weren't ready to do that. So the Bereshit takes him into Eretz Yisrael, he says, and it also calls it Eretz Canaan, which means it wasn't Eretz Yisrael yet. It was Eretz Canaan still. And there was people dying left and right. And there is strange things happening over there. And they have a choice. If they can say, you know what? The version says it's good, even though it looks bad. I'm going to try and accept that fact that once we go in, things will work out. That Amunah would have changed their thought process, and then they would have been able to go to Eretz Yisrael. But the Rosh Madavka tested them. And Rashi says, the Bereshit was Mechav and L'Taifa. Wherever we went, we saw people dying. We saw burying people left and right. Why? That they should be Tar B'Evlam, and they shouldn't attack you. Okay, so the Meragim just saw the people dying left and right. It's a land which has a very bad climate. Dangerous land. Unhealthy climate. A lot of illnesses there. Diseases. That's all they saw. So Bereshit was sending us into a land with a lot of diseases. So what do you think is going to happen? What are the choices? So choice A is we're missing something. There's something which we don't understand about the story.
Choice B is we're not missing something, but the Russian wants us to do it anyway. And choice C is God got it wrong. C is the wrong choice. A is the right choice. That there must be more to the story, and even we don't know what it is, but that's okay. You don't always have to know what more to the story. You just have to know there's more to the story. That the Russian wants to send you into a land which is bad, the Russian said the land is good. But you don't see that it's good. So the answer is there must be more to the story. So, but they came up with the decision that God has got it wrong. The root of that problem was they get to decide. Moshe Rabbeinu says the problem wasn't what you saw. The problem was the attitude you went in with the chachila almost guaranteed that's what you're going to come out with. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that's the root of the problem. This is what happened. That's Parsha Shlach. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming and giving the Moshe Shmuz. He's not giving the Moshe Shmuz what happened. He's giving the Moshe Shmuz what you did wrong. What you did wrong was the attitude you started with. The result is almost guaranteed from the attitude. Yes, you could have had the opportunity, possibly. I sent the best people in Klal Yisrael with the hope that they would be able to do tshuva and overcome that attitude. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, in the conversation over here, sort of stays out of the conversation, lets Yeshua and Kolev lead the conversation. They were there, they saw it, and they're putting the positive spin on it. Moshe says, I can't do that. The only people who can do it are these two people. They can do it because that's what the decision was. Find the clarity and the munah and the positive understanding for what you saw. That was the decision. If they could convince the Meraglim, that would convince Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael had trust in these people were the biggest people of Klal Yisrael. Instead, they didn't do that. And the biggest riot is the next day when the Russians said, don't go. They said, go. So when Chazal say that the reason why you don't go to Israel is because of Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim, it's not like, you know, they did a little bit of Taiva, a little bit of Gaiva, and they mixed together. It's the same problem. It's the same issue again and again. That right to make the decision. So the Al-Sheikh says in Parshas Baloyskha says that Kaiso was, he said, Mutavla, they desire a taiva. You don't desire a taiva, you desire an item. You desire the food, you desire the person, you don't desire a taiva. He says, no, they desire a taiva. They had no taiva because the one takes away taiva. But when you have no taiva, you do Torah mitzvahs as a mukhrach. They wanted to be birth, but they wanted to get to choose themselves. They wanted to decide themselves. They wanted to be in the driver's seat. So they desired to have taiva. So this way, when they have taiva, the plan will be, yeah, they're going to choose the right thing. We will choose the right thing. But it's much more fun to choose than to not choose. We want to be in the driver's seat, and we get to choose. So we would like to have taiva, be challenged. Right? And then decide the right thing. Other Rishon said the same thing. I want to have Yetzer Hara, be challenged with Yetzer Hara, and overcome L'shem Shemayim. It'll be greater cover Shemayim if I pick the Betoyim when I have Yetzer Hara inside of me. Other Rishon didn't understand that that's not how it works. Once the Yetzer Hara is inside of you, it doesn't work like that. From outside the situation, it's very hard to have the clarity to see inside. Like, the studies have been done of all the people who win the lottery, like, the vast majority of them end up messing it up. Every one of them told himself before, of course, I'm not going to be like that. I know all the stories, but I'm going to. Of course, you say that. But when you're inside of the situation, it doesn't look like that anymore. The clarity from outside, when you're not there, it looks very nice. So you don't ask to be in it because you're not going to. When you're there, you're not such a good driver. You don't ask to drive, and you know they have like the most 10 most dangerous roads in the world. Like, you know, I'll handle those. Like, really? And everyone else who said that, who didn't make it, also probably said that. But we come to this problem.
So the Tars of Rum says that this is the most basic Yetzer Hara that we have. The Yetzer Hara of this idea of we want to be in the driver's seat. We want to decide. And we're planning to decide the good thing. We'll do the right thing. But we want to be the boss. We want to be the one who's in control. We want to run the world. It's a teenager who says, listen, you know, I know smoking is bad for you. And if you don't tell me not to smoke, I'm not going to smoke. If you tell me not to smoke, I'm going to smoke just to show you, because I don't tell me what to do. I'm the boss. Right? I mean, look at give me the logic of that thought process. That's an illogical thought process. It's a very logical thought process. I want to be the one who chooses. It's as long as you don't tell me what to do, I'll choose the right thing. Once you're forcing me to choose one way, I'll have to choose the other way just to show you that I'm the boss. But the root is I want to be the boss. The Chushirim says that Barshim came to each one of the Umas offered the Torah, and they asked Maksibo. So Barshim mentioned the mitzvah of the Torah, which they found most challenging. So he comes to Adam, and do you want the Torah? And he says, well, what does it say? He says, we can't do Lashit. So we live by Achar Baratichya. He goes to Yishmael and says, what is it? He says, Lashinov. That was the biggest challenge for Yishmael. Right. Had Kleisel asked, Chushirim says, let's say Kleisel asked Maksibo. They didn't. They said, not so an issue. But let's say they asked Maksibo, what mitzvah would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said to them as the biggest challenge for Klal Yisrael? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Chushirim says. This submission to that the Bereshim is the boss is our biggest challenge. Other than, you know, they don't have a problem having bosses. They just want to kill. You know, they want to have Zeus. Our problem is we don't like bosses. Was it the famous line with Truman and Ben Gurion? Right? Ben Gurion said he has a very difficult time running his country. And he says because he's got a million people. And Truman says, you know, I have 100 million people. He says, yeah, you have 100 million people with one president. I have 1 million prime ministers. Right? There's nothing as a Jew who listens to somebody else to tell them what to do. This is the root of our problem. This is the Shkenai Mice. Kleisel is being challenged with submission. We're an Amche Erif. By the Chetegel. So Swinna says, if you look at the Psukim, the Rosh does not say he's going to destroy Kleisel for the Chet. He says, if you want to destroy Kaiso because they're the Kshay Arif, means that Rashi says they don't listen when you tell them to do tshuva. They don't listen to when you tell them to point out what's wrong. When somebody gives a muster, they turn their back to you with their stiff neck and they walk away. Other Marishan is the same problem. Why did Marishan leave Gan Eden? Because he behaved like Tzedas. That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that he ate from the Tzedas, and the Rosham says, "Ve'emar Hashem Elokim, hein adam hoye kachad mimenu l'das tevura, v'atzoa pen yishlach yodir v'lokach kam eitzachayim, v'yishachay Hashem Elokim meganeh." You can't say ganeh because you might eat from the Tzachayim. Didn't say he had to leave because he ate from the Tzedas. First, can eat from the Tzedas and stay in ganeh. But since he might eat from the Tzachayim, he has to leave. So the Medrash says, the Bershom on this post, the Bershom came to the Adam and said, do tshuva. He says, I can't do tshuva. I don't want to do tshuva. I'm not doing tshuva. And he says, okay, you have to leave. The problem wasn't the chait. You can be a chait and still being a chait. But if you don't listen, what's the post saying? Don't even make tzachayim. He says, I don't trust you. You're going to decide that you made tzachayim. You're not going to listen. Then you can't stay in Gan Eden. Our biggest challenge is we don't like listening. We like figuring things out. The Bereshit gave us wonderful minds, and the Bereshit, and things have to be logical. And that's where all of our learning is about making sense, etc., etc. And suspending our minds is we don't know when to suspend our minds. And we usually suspend them too late, and that's what Klal Yisrael's challenge is. So Yirmiyahu comes and says, listen, there's a time in Klai, so you have to do tshuva, Klai, or the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed.
says, no, can't be. The Rosh Hashanah wants to celebrate the Mikdash, it's so valuable to him, etc. Here we go again. The Navi comes and says the Beis will be destroyed unless you correct yourselves. And Kleisel did not believe Yirmiyahu because the Rosh would not give the Beis is so valuable, he wouldn't do that. And anyway, the only way he's going to do it is using certain malachim, and we know the names of the malachim, and we're going to make a shua on the malachim that they have to listen to us. So if the Rosh makes a fire, the malachim Shemayim, which control the water, will be mashbiyah them with the names that we know. The Medrash says, and they'll pour down the water and put out the fire. Good plan. So what happened? The Rosh changed the name of the malachim. So when the fire starts, they go, Malach, come! And, you know, there's no malach anymore like that because the Rosh changed his name. But they have such a good plan. They're in control. They know how to run the world. They know how to run the world and all the heavenly spheres. They can control the malachim of the world. The Rosh is very nice. This is your problem. This is your same problem. It's not a Nayamaisa. This is the same problem which we had before. You have Chatoyim. That's not the problem. You have Chatoyim. You don't listen to the Navi when he says correct it. And you say, it can't be. You're wrong, Navi. So we do the Navi. We take Navi. We put him in jail. You shoot the messenger. Right? We decide that it can't be that that's true. So the Rosh Moshe says, don't go. We say, go. Navi says, it's going to be destroyed. We say, no. Arisha, Gan Eden. You can't stay. We don't trust you to correct. You did something wrong. Fine, gate weiter. No, because the root of the problem is we want to be in control to start with. Who asked you? When you made a decision, it's a better idea to not listen to me and Ishmael Tzadas. So why should I trust you? It's a better idea to listen to me and not Ishmael Tzachayim. There's no mockum for that. We can't. The root of our problem is still here after the chet. You got it wrong. So you say, how can I listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu? I have such karat. Rishon says, do tshuva. I said, no. I mean, no. I want somebody to boss, Adam says. So this is the Kleisel's challenge. You look throughout Sefer Midbar, this is the challenge that we have. Moshe is the leader. No, of course, somebody else should be the leader. He gets all of Kleisel to be convinced that somebody else should be the leader. Who said that Moshe should be the leader? Moshe did it. Moshe did it. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu has some element, you know, whatever that means, maybe even Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't. Submission is a challenge. It's a bigger challenge than we realize. It's a challenge of the recognizing our limitations, recognizing that there's somebody, there's a being out there, or there's someone out there, which has a clarity, and from his vantage point, it makes sense. I'll just end with a mushal and a story. Rukhast Abramsky set up the following mushal. So let's say one individual has extremely good eyesight. He's able to see things at a great distance. And other people don't have the same eyesight as him. So he sees at a distance of, thousands of feet away. He sees there's this item on the ground, and, it doesn't look safe, etc. The guy says, I don't see anything. So everything is safe. You don't have the same eyesight as I do. I see that at a distance of 4,000 feet, there's this little black box on the ground that looks like a bomb. He says, I looked at it. I don't see anything. It's asphalt. It's it's black. It's wet. So I only can see 1,000 feet. So I have my vision is 25% as good as yours. So I see 25% of the box. The next guy can see 2,000 feet. So he has 50% as good vision as the fellow who can see 4,000 feet. He sees half of the box. He doesn't see anything. Let's say a person could see 3,900 feet. He can't see past that. He doesn't see it. See, he sees 98% of the box. He doesn't see anything. He doesn't see that far. The fellow sees the fourth. He says, "Tell you there's something there." I don't see it. Stop me. You're wrong. I get it better than you. I have good eyesight. At least I should see part of it. No, I don't see anything. So there's a ma'aseh with Rashach. Rashach went to a meeting. And he brought in the stipler had said that this is the right thing to do. And the people in the meeting said, okay, we want to have a discussion about it, we might decide otherwise. So Shah said, I'm leaving. He says, if you don't have the clarity to understand that the stipler sees better than you, and he has a better understanding of you, then why? I don't want to be part of this conversation. Like you just don't get it. What do you mean? I'm a Talmud Chacham and I have an opinion. Yeah, you just don't get it. He has better eyesight than you, and maybe he sees better than you, and he understands the picture better than you. So one time came to me about a certain situation with the Gifter. You know, they were debating whether they should ask the Gifter a certain shayla. So one individual was a little bit nervous because he might say not what that person wanted to hear. So they came to me what I thought he would say. I says, I have no idea. I says, well, you're close to Talmud. This is maybe I am, but I still have no idea. The only way I can know what he would say is I'd be him, and I'm not him. I don't have the same understanding, the same vision, the same clarity as he has. So how am I supposed to know what he's going to say? And if I did, I wouldn't want him as a Rebbe anymore. If I could always figure out what he's going to say, so that then I'm as smart as him. But I'm not. And if I'm as smart as him, why would I want him as a Rebbe? One of the other things they said is, you know, I don't want a world where every God does make sense to me. Because then God's only as smart as me. I want a world where God's smarter than me. So when I listen, I say, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. But God knows what he's doing. It's a fascinating thought process. It's so logical when you say it in those words, but we grapple with it all the time. Okay, we end up with the question, what is the Midrash's message? Okay, that's a fair question. Try to figure it out. But that this makes sense, doesn't make sense. I get to decide what's right, what's wrong, what the words. This is our challenge. This is a challenge which we live with all the time. We do have to respect our intellect and our thought process, and the Russian wants us to do that. The Torah is about thinking. At the same time, know when to step back and say, you know what, this is beyond me. Okay.